We have been studying together the Gospel through John these past number of mornings, and we are in the 8th chapter, and briefly we're going through each chapter of this blessed book of John. And we found in the first part of the chapter a woman who was in sin, a moral issue before us, and out of this moral issue our Savior gives the great discourse, "I am the light of the world." If I may again repeat what I said yesterday concerning this little incident at the beginning of chapter 8, of how these Pharisees and scribes set the trap to trap our Savior and brought the woman in as the bait to try and trap him. And the result was they were caught in their own trap, and the Lord manifested wonderful, wonderful compassion upon a woman who needed not a trap, not a club, not stones. What she needed was a Savior. And here she is in the presence of the Savior. And out of this great incident came the discourse of Jesus Christ as the light of the world. He had shone upon the consciences of these religious leaders, and the result was they couldn't take it. This 8th chapter, by the way, is a wonderful chapter. They wanted to stone a sinful woman, and the chapter ends with them seeking to stone the sinless one. You notice this. A sinful woman and a sinless Savior. And I repeat it, they picked up stones to stone the sinful woman, and then it ends with them picking up stones to stone the sinless one. And in it we have these great claims of Christ. The first one, He is the light of the world, verses 12 to 20. He's the light of the world. The rejection of light leads to endless dark, endless death. And not to follow Jesus Christ means darkness. You see, friends, I'm reminded of that verse in Acts 26, 18, 19, and 20, where Paul said he was called to be a witness and a minister of the things of God, to open blind eyes, to turn men from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God. Oh, what a message! That can take men and women out of darkness, out from under the powers of hell, out from under the fear of death, and bring them into the glorious light of the image of God, even our Savior Jesus Christ. I say, what a wonderful thing God has done to make the provision whereby you and I, who had rebelled against God, possibly sometimes were greatly indifferent to God, and to know that He has made the provision whereby we can come with confidence, with boldness, into His presence because we've been redeemed by precious blood. So you have this, the light of the world. The second claim of Christ in the chapter, He's the great deliverer, from verses 21 to 36. He's the great deliverer. Well, from what does He deliver? Well, first of all, He delivers us, emancipates us from death. In verses 21 down through verse 24 and verse 51, He liberates from death. Rejection of Jesus Christ leads to death. I'm going to repeat that statement. The rejection or the ignoring of Jesus Christ as Savior leads to death. Eternal death, eternal separation to God. Let me read two verses. Verse 21. Jesus said again unto them, "I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. And whither I go, ye cannot come." Verse 24. "I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." In verse 51, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." He's the great liberator from death. You know, it might be a good thing. It might be a good thing to take verse 24 and verse 51 and ask yourself the question, do I qualify for verse 24 Or do I qualify for verse 51? Now listen to them. If ye believe not that I am he, if you don't believe that I am the Christ, the Son of God, you shall die in your sins. For if Christ is not the Son of God, then there's no redemption from sin. He died like everybody else died, if he's just a normal man, sinful man. But he claimed to be the only begotten Son of God. He claimed to be equal with God in nature, in power, in authority. He claimed to be the bread of life. He claims to be the light of the world. And not to follow him means darkness. And if I do not believe who he is, I shall die in my sin. And if I die in my sin, what's left but eternal judgment and wrath? It's a sad picture. But look at verse 51. And I distrust that you're in verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Astounding, isn't it? Oh, but you say Christians die. No, we may leave these bodies behind, these bodies of clay, of dust, but the person does not die. We shall never see death. As Hebrews chapter 2 says, he tasted death for everyone. He went into the bowels of death, and we go free. For when we leave this scene, we go right into the very presence of God. My, what a prospect. What a prospect. No wonder Paul could say, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. I'm quoting from Philippians chapter 1, verses 22 to 23. See. Marvelous thing. He liberates from death. Again, I come to it. Are you in 24? If you are, hurry up and get into verse 51. You can come into verse 51 right while I'm talking to you. If you will open up and let the Lord Jesus Christ come into your life as your Savior and as your Lord. Now the second thing about his liberation, what is the ground for his liberation? I said a moment ago, our Lord is the great liberator, found from verses 21 to 36. He liberates from death. But what's the ground of that liberation? Verses 25 to 30. Here's an amazing picture. Supposing I read from verse 28. Then said Jesus to them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself. As my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Here is the ground for it, and the ground is the cross. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. I do nothing of myself. What my Father tells me, that's what I do. He has not left me alone. I do always the things that please him. In other words, the ground for the liberation is the perfect Son in submission unto his Father, even unto death. And then verses 31 to 36, he liberates from slavery. He liberates from slavery. Now remember, he's talking to a people who were under bondage to Rome and under bondage to sin. And what he says here is that true discipleship leads to freedom. And the condition is abiding in his word. We spoke of this some weeks ago on the question of discipleship. In fact, it was last December. But let me read the two verses again, verse 31, verse 32, and verse 36. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Freedom, my friend, comes from being in him, and it's real. True discipleship leads to freedom. And I repeat it, the condition is abiding in his word. In Romans chapter 8, the second verse, we read, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath set me free from the law of sin and death. May I repeat that? this wonderful scripture, Romans chapter 8, the second verse. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath set me free, hath delivered me, hath emancipated me from the law of sin and the law of death. And these two go together. By the way, there's no question what he's talking about, because the next verse tells us, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, because of sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You see, the law of Moses is the strength of sin, and the law of Moses is a ministry of death. Now, you find this in the book of Galatians, chapter 3. It's a ministration of death. And I want to say to you, again from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, together with Galatians chapter 3. You take those two chapters where you have the question of the law. The law is not of faith. All the law can do is to make sin exceeding sinful. And the law is a ministration of death. And when you and I accept the Savior, we are immediately delivered from the law of sin and the law of death. Why? Because we have a new law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free. And I want to say this, my friend, to you today in closing this brief message on John chapter 8. Do you have Jesus Christ as your great deliverer, delivering you from sin, delivering you from death, delivering you from judgment, fitting you for the presence of God? Verily, verily, I say unto you, said Jesus, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Free from sin and its power. Free from sin in its guilt. Free from sin's penalty. Free to serve God. Free to live for God. Free to serve your fellow man. Free to glorify the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Friend, why don't you come to this wonderful Savior and make him your own? Let him come into your life. He'll transform you. It may be I'm talking to a religionist, and you've been religious all your life, but you've had no reality of life in Christ. Why not turn to him? Why not turn to him and do it today and be saved for his name's sake?